Joshua chapter 6. And we meet Joshua at the point where he faces Jericho. And it says this, Joshua 6. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Make 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, make all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the people will go up, every man straight in." So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and make 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it." And he ordered the people, "Advance, march around the city, with the armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord." When Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the Ark of the Lord's Covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the Ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding. But Joshua had commanded the people, "Do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout." So he had the Ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the people returned to the camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took up the Ark of the Lord. The 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets went forward, marching before the Ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the Ark of the Lord, while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the 2nd day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. On the 7th day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time around, when the priests sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab, the prostitute, and all who are with her in our house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury." When the trumpet sounded, the people shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So every man charged straight in, and they took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with the sword every living thing in it, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep and donkeys. Joshua said to the 2 men who had spied out the land, "Go into the prostitute's house and bring her out and all who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her." So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and mother and brothers and all who belonged to her. They brought out her entire family and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. Then they burned the whole city and everything in it. But they put the silver and gold, the articles of bronze and iron, into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute, and with her family and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho, and she lives among the Israelites to this day. At that time, Joshua pronounced this solemn oath, "Cursed before the Lord is the man who undertakes to rebuild this city Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn son will he lay its foundations. At the cost of his youngest will he set up its gates." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land. I remember that story from when I was really, really young. And it's a great story. Story about how Joshua and the people of Israel were able to conquer a mighty city. Not with weapons, not with guns, not with bombs, but just by the sounding of a trumpet and a shout. We are told that the walls of Jericho fell down. Now, let's put up a slide. It's a picture of a woman. Any guesses? You wouldn't know who it was. This is Kathleen Kenyon. And she was a British archaeologist. And during the years 1954 to 56, she excavated Jericho. And she's particularly well known because she excavated Jericho. And she went all the way down to the foundations of the city of Jericho. But the period that we're interested in that she dug up is about 1400 years BC. That is the time that is being spoken of in our passage. Now you might think, why on earth would we want to know what Kathleen Kenyon found when she dug up Jericho? Well, for me, I read a story, a dramatic story, as I have done today, about Joshua and Jericho. And it's very easy to say, oh yeah, nice story, isn't it? Come on. Jericho was a fortified city. It was jam-packed full of people. It had a king. It had an army within it. There is no way on earth that by doing what? By marching round it, by sounding trumpets, and by shouting, the walls fell down. So Kathleen Kenyon went to Jericho to dig it up. I'm not sure that she was a Christian. I don't think she was a Christian. I don't think she was a Jew. I think her interest was simply archaeological. And there are three things that I noted in the report that I read about her excavations of Jericho. Three things that you would have up on the wall, but are not there yet. And they are these three interesting things that she found and had archaeological evidence for. The first is she found evidence that the walls had indeed just fallen down. She found evidence that the walls had just crumpled down. And now, of course, we read in our passage in Joshua 6, verse 20. When the trumpet sounded, the people shouted at the sound of the trumpet. When the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. And that's what we were told. In this story, we were told that. And what we know is that Kathleen Kenyon, thank you, Tristan, discovered that the wall had indeed just collapsed. It had fallen down. The second interesting thing that she found clear evidence of is that the city of 1400 BC had been burnt. Do you remember where we read? In Joshua 6, 24. Then they burned the whole city. So the archaeological evidence is not just for the walls falling down, but also for the fact that the city had been burnt. A third interesting thing I noted is that she found very little metal in the city. Now, why is that interesting? Well, Joshua 6, 24 again. Then they burned the whole city and everything in it, but they put the silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. So there is archaeological evidence that the story we read about, extraordinary though it is, actually happened. And for me, that's important. It might not be for you. You might think, well, the Bible says it, therefore it's true. For me, I like to know the evidence, to know that this really happened. Now, the fact that there is evidence that this event really took place, means that we have to take it very seriously. And we have to say, what is there here to teach us that God did this extraordinary thing Just with trumpets and a shout, he caused the walls of a city to fall down, and he gave the city to the Israelites. If that truly, really happens, what are we to do about it? What is our response to it? And very quickly this morning, I'm going to talk about these three things. The surrender of Joshua to God. And then the gift of Jericho into the hands of Joshua. Then the presence of God with the people. And the fourth thing, Israel lays claim to what God has given them. And I think we can learn something from all of these. But the first is the surrender of Joshua to God. And really, I'm cheating a little bit here, because I've just read to you a few minutes ago Joshua chapter 6. But if you've got your Bible open, just turn back to Joshua 5. And a couple of weeks ago, I read this to you. Let's just very quickly read that, the previous page. Joshua 5, verse 13. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I've now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servants?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy." And Joshua did so. And I want to suggest that this extraordinary event of the walls of Jericho falling down with the trumpet sound and a shout did not begin at Joshua chapter 6 verse 1. But they in fact began when Joshua surrendered himself to God. When Joshua was willing to take that courageous step of stepping into God's story. And I think a couple of weeks ago I expressed what I believe, that when we take on a spiritual journey with Jesus, it is not Jesus that comes into our life, but more that we step into his. And we say, "What role have I to play in your story?" And Joshua, we're told, took off his sandals as a sign to say, "I surrender, I give up, I'm not running anywhere, I accept your story, God. And I will step into your story and I'll run with whatever you challenge me to run with." And the beginning, if we're to lay hold of the promises of God, it seems to me, begins with this, with simple surrender to God. Saying, "God, I know you're real. I know you're true. And I want my life somehow, in some way, to reflect your life, to be influenced by your life, that a difference might be made in my life because of you." But that is done not by having God, as it were, come into our life and we can keep him neatly in a cupboard somewhere and we bring him out on Sundays, but actually us stepping into God's story and saying, "Okay, God, I want to step into your way of life." And that seems to me the beginning of the extraordinary event that we read of in chapter 6. So the surrender of Joshua to God, that's where it begins, taking hold of what God has promised. The next is the gift of Jericho into the hands of Joshua. And let's just have a look at Joshua 6, 1 to 2. Joshua 6, 1 to 2. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went in and no one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men." That's the word of God to Joshua at the beginning. Joshua has already surrendered himself to God and said, "I want to live in your story, the extraordinary things that take place if I live in your story." And we're told that Jericho was tightly shut up. No one went out. No one came in. But then God says this, "I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men." And I want to just highlight, as you can see, I've underlined three words. "See, I have delivered." And as soon as I read that, I thought, that's interesting. Because God doesn't say, "Joshua, if you do this and this and this and this, then I will deliver Jericho into your hands. What does it actually say? It's already done. And hang on. Now, you know, in the Hebrew, it's actually a completed, what we're talking about is a completed action. Something that has already taken place. Something that has already taken place. And God has said to Joshua, this has already taken place. I have already given you Jericho. Now Joshua's standing there and going, hang on, I'm standing here. There's the city of Jericho. It's all locked up. Nobody's coming out. Nobody's going in. And yet you say, you've already given me that city. And I sense God would just say, yes, you surrendered yourself to me. You stepped into my story. And so when I promise something, it's not something in the future, but it's true today. That what you will wait and see, it's already been given to you. And so there is this extraordinary thing. It's already given to Joshua. But the Lord says, I've delivered Jericho, which is the place. I've delivered the king, which is the power. And I've delivered the fighting men, the army, the potency of the city has all been delivered over to you. You surrendered, you stepped into my story. And now I deliver Jericho to you. So there is this gift of Jericho into the hands of Joshua. There's the surrender of Joshua to God. There is then the gift of Jericho into the hands of Joshua. And we need to just reflect on that for a moment and understand that when God promises, if we are living in God's story, if we haven't said, Jesus, will you kindly fit into my life so I can use you at my convenience, but rather we've said, no, I will step out of my life and I'll live in your story, then when God promises us, it's as if it's already true. It's already happened. It's a completed action. I've already given you this. This is already true for you. But I don't see it with my eyes. No, but it's still true. I haven't put my hands on it yet. No, but it's still true. It's a completed action. When we stand in God's story, when He promises, it's not something we have to work towards anymore. It is already true. The third is the presence of God with the people. It is the presence of God with the people. Look at that. The presence of God with the people. Because how did the walls of Jericho fall down? How was it possible for the people of Israel to just effectively march into Jericho? How was that possible? Was it really just the sound of the trumpet? Was it really just the shout of God? Or was there something more going on? Possibly. The presence of God with His people. This is the instruction God gave. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up. Every man straight in. And I'm glad that they didn't kind of repeat that every day for 7 days, you know, 6 days, you know, in the story. But that's what they did. But this was the instruction of what they should do. Now, let me just underline, hopefully, some words will be underlined. Have 7 priests, it says, carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark, and then on the 7th day. And all of these speak about the presence of God. Now this, do you know what that is? It's a ram's horn. It's called a shofar. And this is what the Israelites would have sounded at that particular time. It has a very powerful resonating sound. And 7 priests are instructed to carry these trumpets around the walls of Jericho. Now, this wasn't the first time that the people of Israel had heard the sound of trumpets. If you turn, and we haven't really got time now, to Exodus 19, Exodus 20, when Moses goes up the mountain of God to receive the Ten Commandments, what they hear out from the presence of God is, guess what? Trumpets. Trumpets sound. If you look to the end of the Bible, where it talks about 1 Corinthians 15, where it talks about the return of Jesus, what sound will be heard? Trumpets. You see, the sound of the trumpet, what they're doing is they're taking an instrument to demonstrate the sound of the presence of God. So God says, I want you to go and sound my presence. I want you to say to people in that city, even though they may not understand this, I want you to make the sound of my presence. So they will hear with their ears that I am present with you. And I am the God of all the earth. And so there is the presence of God with the people in the trumpets. Then there's this. And this is just an artist's representation of what was known as the Ark of the Covenant. God had instructed Moses to build an ark, and it would have stood about the size, if you squared off this table, it would have been about this big, and then the angels on the top would have sat on top, and it was all cased in gold, and the Ten Commandments were placed in the Ark of the Covenant, as it was known. And it was a symbol, a sign of the presence of God. So as the people march around the city of Jericho, the trumpets are sounding that say, this is the sound of the presence of God. The Ark of the Covenant is being carried. And it is a sign of the presence of God. So people could hear and they could also see that God was present. The God of the whole earth, the living God, was present with the people as they marched around Jericho. But there's another thing, and that is the seventh day. Did you notice? The day on which they marched around was the seventh day. Verse 15. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city seven times in the same manner. Well, what was so special about the seventh day? Well, when we look at Genesis chapter 2, it is the Sabbath day. It is the day that has the presence of God in the day. It is God's day. And you see what is happening here? Is God is saying, you need to know, and they need to know, that I am present here by the sounding of the trumpets, by the sign of the Ark of the Covenant, but also by doing it on the seventh day. It is this powerful symbol of my presence with you. And so there is the surrender, taking hold of the promises of God. It seems to me, just very quickly, it seems to me that it's about surrender. It's about stepping into God's story. Saying, what is your story? I want to step into it. I want to be a player in your play. I want to be an actor with lines to say, with a part to perform in your play. It begins with that surrender. But then it also begins with the understanding of the promises of God. That when we step into God's story, the promises are real and true today, even though we may not yet see them. They're completed. They're done with. And God says, I've already given Jericho to you. The third is just knowing the presence of God. Knowing the presence of God with us. And this is where Israel lays claim to what God has given to them. There is this surrender, the presence of God, the promise, the presence of God, and then I've simply said fulfillment. How it actually came to be. Well, they just did what God had called them to do, which is an outrageous thing to do. Can you imagine marching around Jericho every day? I wonder what kind of catcalls were given. What language was shouted down at the Israelites as they marched around? As people said, what on earth are you doing marching around? You cannot possibly take this city. And yet that's what they did. Because they said, we have the presence of God with us. It doesn't really matter what we do. We have the presence of God with us. And they were able to take hold of the promise of God. And may it be, and I realized I've rushed through this very, very quickly, may it be for us that God would just put in our hearts that little spark, perhaps for some of us, of reminding us of a life that we sensed was real and possible once. And it may be it's just gone cold on us. And it may be that for some of us, we just need to step again into God's story and to say, Father, give me the courage to step into your story. It might be for others of us, we've just reached, as it were, a full stop, and we're struggling with our own spiritual journey. And we need to say, I want to know the reality of your presence with me in a very simple, very ordinary, but very powerful way. So that the things you promise, Father, I might know for myself. And might it be today that a little spark might be generated by God in our hearts and lives. Let's just take a moment. Let's just pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for this extraordinary story, this extraordinary account of Joshua and the city of Jericho. And Father, we pray that there may be things that we've read and reflected on in these last few minutes that will stay with us. Some things, Father, perhaps that will trouble us. Some things that will intrigue us. Some things that will lead us closer to you, that will challenge and irritate us. Father, would you pour out your Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, upon each one of us, that we might know your blessing and we might live closer to you each day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.